I'm Aaron Schachter, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. The polls have closed in Iran. Over 3,000 candidates are vying for 290 seats in Iran's parliament. Results are expected tomorrow. These were the first nationwide elections in Iran since the presidential election of 2009. That vote was followed by anti-government protests in the streets. There were no reports of disturbances today. Casting his ballot, Iran's supreme leader urged Iranians to do the same. He suggested a high turnout would be a slap to Iran's Western foes. The big winners are almost guaranteed to be supporters of Iran's hardline rulers. Most reformers or opposition candidates were disqualified by the authorities in the run-up to today's vote. Earlier, we spoke to a Tehran resident about the elections and about life in Iran in general. For safety reasons, we're not using his name. He said many Iranians had mixed feelings about voting.
The thing is that most of the candidates who were approved by the Electoral Commission, as you may call it, were not known to the people. So these people were unknown. They had unknown or very murky goals and ideals. And one of the things which they were riding on was that if you don't vote, the Americans will bomb you. That was one of the propaganda. It most definitely would not work on a middle-class person, on a blue-collar person who has no other source of information. When he walks on the streets and see a big banner and says that Radio Free Europe, which is funded by the American Congress, has announced that if less than 50% of the people vote in Iran, America will attack Iran. Of course, that's the propaganda which they're using more or less everywhere. This scares people, definitely.
The United States is, with partners in Europe, are pushing for more and more sanctions against Iran. Are they affecting ordinary people there in Tehran, and if so, how?
Yes, definitely. These are really affecting the ordinary lives. The first thing that people can feel in a day-to-day is inflation, and the price of the petrol goes up, price of the cars, luxury goods, and food items are going up more than their average increase in the global economy.
The sanctions, of course, are in response to Iran's nuclear program. Are most Iranians behind that program, and are they worried about an attack from the United States or from Israel?
What I have seen is that we are kind of getting used to it. We are just living by threats every single day. So after a while, you just think, okay, they will bomb. What should we do? So we just keep on living day to day. And the nuclear issue is also something which is not really important to a day-to-day life because we don't even produce 1 kilowatt of electricity. So, I mean, there's no use for us. And people can understand that by having this nuclear program, we are being under sanctions, but people don't connect the dots and say, okay, if we push the government to stop the nuclear issue, we may not have this pain of the economic problems. I mean, just imagine that right now an ordinary person who wants to travel outside, he cannot get access to any foreign currency. And people don't see it as a problem from the government. They see it as a result of the sanctions. These two things are not connected in the thoughts of the ordinary people that I talk to.
No, we're not using your name for safety reasons. I wonder, what risks do you face potentially by speaking with us?
Well, I tell you right now that my family, I mean, after they realize that I'm talking to you, are really upset because the thing is that any connection to any Western media is considered to be unlawful under the current Iranian laws and regulations. And I risk going to jail. I risk losing my job. I risk getting beaten up or whiplashed. I mean, these are all these risks. But the reason I do talk to you is that I really think that it is my duty to at least reflect the ideas of a group of people here, very clear and unbiased. So, you know, people over there, I mean, in your neck of the woods, can understand that people in Iran are living their daily lives. And we have to just continue living. We cannot just stop everything because of the sanctions or the threat of the bombs. And I mean, if I didn't want to talk, I shouldn't have started in the beginning anyways. I always tell my friends that one of the things that I learned from Clint Eastwood is if you want to shoot, shoot, don't talk. So That was, I think, a good, bad, and the ugly. No, that analogy, even on these threats from Israel when they want to, like, last year it was every 2 weeks they were threatening to attack. Now it's twice a day that they're threatening to attack. It really gets to a point that people want to say, okay, if you want to bomb, go ahead and just don't talk too much anymore. It's like it is losing its effect. It's becoming like a comic strip or something.
Would bombing by Israel or America actually help the regime to,
Yes, definitely. I can just say it very clear, because I will never trust anybody who's bombing my home. There is no example of complete precision bombing in history. There are always collateral damages. So people are not looking at this as a Hollywood movie where Tom Cruise just walks in, takes the bad guy, and just walks out. They see that when the bombs are dropped, their houses go up in flames.
Thank you so much for speaking with us. We really appreciate it.
I'm glad that I did, and I hope that this helps.